Hello, my name is Frédéric Laveau. I am from the Rhône. I'm a winemaker from the Rhône. And we invite you to taste our wines, the Laveau wines, that are available in the US. And you can also visit our website at lavau.eu.
Welcome to Wine and Dine. My name is Lynn Creelo Chamberlain, host. You're listening to iWine Radio. Today we're going to learn about a very specific family from the Rhone Valley. Last name is Laveau, L-A-V-A-U. Distributed nationally in the United States. And of course, if you're listening from outside of the United States, we will have links up for you to learn about distribution. Oh my gosh, delicious, delicious wines. And Frédéric Laveau, who owns, along with his brother Benoit, this property, Laveau, they have several different establishments. And let me give you a little bit of a background. Now, they own three cellars in the south of the Rhone Valley, where they are in partnership with 300 grape growers. And I'm having so much fun tasting the wines. And Frédéric, here we are going into warm weather. I must say that your 2013 Tavel was absolutely spectacular.
Thank you very much, Lynn.
So could you please give us some history, your family history? You have been in grape growing for many, many years.
Yes, exactly. I've started working with the family in 1995, but my great-grandfather was the one who really started to work in the wine business long ago, before, of course, I was born. It was more like the 1870s, I would say.
Oh, wow. But the family did not start off in the Rhone Valley where you are now.
No, my great-grandfather started in Bordeaux, in Saint-Emilion. And after, during the 1875, he started moving to go to North Africa. That's where my grandfather was born, in Tunisia, and also my mom and dad. And they have been growing there until they turned 30. And after, in 1962, when Tunisia fought for independence, they moved back to France and they ended in the Rhone.
And I'm curious, why move from Rhone to Bordeaux? Was it that they liked the warmer weather, or they actually liked the wines of Rhone Valley compared to Bordeaux?
I think at that time what really happened, it was just a question of opportunity. My
okay.
mom and dad had been working in wine business with the Laveau family for at least 10 years. And when they decided what they wanted to do with their lives, they really realized they wanted to keep working into the wine business. And I guess that my dad realized that at that time that the Rhone was really where things were going to happen, because it was not such a well-known vineyard or region at that time. And I really believe that they really had hope and a lot of hope for the recent years to be able to work in the Rhone.
As I understand, there was in 2011, there was a survey that was conducted by Wine Opinions with U.S. consumers. And about 70% of people in the United States are familiar with the Rhone Valley, or the word Rhone, when it comes to wine.
That's true. And I also believe, from what I can remember, is the fact that in 2011, the Rhone was selected as the best wine region of the year. I think there is an award for the Rhone. I guess, you know, the Rhone has been progressing a lot in recent years and has been becoming more and more famous, because we are glad to have certain appellations that are getting, I would say, worldly renown now, like Châteauneuf-du-Pape or
yeah.
Hermitage or Côte-Rôtie or Condrieu. And that really helps us, you know, get the good word out.
The good word out. Now, let's talk about, you have several different tiers or levels of wines available in the United States market and elsewhere. And let's start with this Le Carré Red and white, and in particular, the choice of the word carré and what those four principles of the Laveau family are.
In 2010, we bought this vineyard in a small village called Valréas. It's in the northern part of the Vaucluse at the frontier with the Drôme region. And it is a beautiful one piece of land of 30 hectares. And right in the middle, we have selected two plots with my brother. One plot of Grenache, planted in 1965, and another plot of Syrah, planted in 1967. Wow. And that's where the carré is coming from. And in French, le carré means square. It may sound silly, but we realize when looking at the map that the plot of Grenache and Syrah were close to, really next to each other, and at the same time, it was making a square. So that's where it's coming from.
That's a really good choice, and it's easy for Americans to pronounce who didn't study French. And then you took that further and decided that the concept of the square was also going to represent the four principles of your family in this business.
Exactly, that's true. You know, we have been, you know, in the Rhone Valley for a long time, so I guess, you know, it's pretty much all about terroir, as we say in French, and because it's all, you know, part of our family, and so, you know, we have inherited, you know, some winemaking methods, I would say, but we also, because my brother and I are in our early 40s, that we could give some modernity,
yes,
you know, to what we were doing into the wine business and creating a brand, which my parents at their time didn't do, was really something amazing and new for us. And exporting our wine also in the U.S., of course, but also in some, you know, other part of Europe and Asia also,
okay,
was also very interesting. And it's really a family thing, you know. It's my brother, it's me. We created the brand. We try to expand our family business. But we thought at the time that we have created the Lavo wines that it was really the best choice in terms of names, because we were going to be the two best spokesperson to be able to talk about the wines.
Oh, of course.
We are, and we have created.
Yeah, because the wines are you. But so let's take this, let's extend this out beyond your family philosophy, and that is, let's talk about some geography and appellation lesson about the Rhone Valley, because many people listening, well, maybe they've heard of Châteauneuf-du-Pape, maybe they've heard of Côte Rôtie or Condria, but maybe they don't understand the difference between a Côte du Rhône and a Côte du Rhône village and some of the lesser known smaller appellations.
Mm-hmm. I think the first thing is that the Rhône is based in the southern part of France, because the Rhône is a river. So it means that this river starts in Geneva in Switzerland and goes down to the Mediterranean Sea, close to Marseille. And it really cuts the Rhône in two parts, the east part and the west part. At the same time, the Rhône Valley is really cut in two, I would say, in two places. You have the northern Rhône, that's where you will be finding, you know, Croz Hermitage,
okay,
Saint-Joseph, where you'll have also the Côte Rôtie, the Hermitage, the Condrieu.
Okay.
These are all the northern Rhône appellations. And when you get to the lower part of the Rhône Valley, that's where you'll be finding the Châteauneuf, the most famous of the South Rhône, Châteauneuf-du-Pape, of course,
mm-hmm,
but also all the other smaller appellations, like Côte du Rhône and Côte du Rhône Village, Rasto, Vaqueras, Gigondas, Lirac, and so on. I would say that what's really interesting in the Rhône is the fact that we're always talking about blending different type of varietals, and by, it's just also a question of layers. I would say that it's like a cake or a pyramid. You start, for example, with Côte du Rhône, and the layer right above would be Côte du Rhône Village. And above that layer would be the Côte du Rhône Village that you will find names of, like Côte du Rhône Village Sablé or Séguré. And above that, you have what we call cru.
Yes.
That's Vaqueras. That's Châteauneuf-du-Pape, that's Gigondas, that's Tavel also. So you have to really think about appellations. It's a bit complex because maybe we never gave any type of explanation on how it works. But you have to think about the big cakes with plenty of layers. Starting with the bottom part would be Caudron and going all the way up to Châteauneuf-du-Pape in terms of Southern Rhone.
That was a wonderful
explanation.
I think everybody can understand that. That was really, really well done. And so we're going to have to cut this and go to a short break here. But I just want to say also that in your analogy of a cake, the lowest layers in the cake are going to be less expensive. And the farther you go up, the more expensive because the smaller the area and the less wine. Yes?
Exactly. That's
okay.
Very true.
Okay, cool. We're going to go to a short break here. And when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Frédéric Laveau, who, along with his brother Benoit, run and operate Laveau, which is a Rhone Valley family company. And they operate on terroir, tradition, modernity, and family. We'll be right back.
My name is Sandra Gay, and I'm working for all the Tavel wine growers. And I hope you will learn more about our unique Tavel rosé wine. So it was a great pleasure to be on Wine and Dine Radio. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to iWine Radio. I'm Lynn Crelo Chamberlain.
Welcome to Wine and Dine.
We're continuing our conversation with Frédéric Laveau. You know, we already discussed the Le Carré Côte d'Rhône. There's a red and a white. And with the 2010 vintage, which was their first production, they received 90 points for both of those in the Wine Spectator. You know me, I absolutely adore rosé, dry rosé wines, and there are a couple of rosés that are available in the United States. There is a Côte d'Rhône rosé. And one of the things that's so interesting about rosé is you really have to look for current vintage. You don't want a rosé that's 4, 5, 6 years old. So we have Côte d'Rhône rosé 2013 and the Tavel rosé 2013, both available in the United States. You know, when it's hot in the Rhone Valley, Frédéric, do people drink rosé or do people gravitate towards the white more or even the red? What's the tradition of people who were born and raised in the Rhone?
I guess rosé is really a summer thing. I guess that's really the period of the year where people are going to drink most of the rosé that we're producing. But I think that to talk about maybe a Tavel, that is also, it's the only appellation in France where they produce only rosé wine. Mm-hmm. Tavel is not producing one, I would drop, or white or red wine. It's just a rosé appellation. So it's maybe, you know, the most reddish type of rosé maybe that we are producing. So it's maybe something on the side, even if most of its consumption happens during summer.
And we're talking Grenache, Cinzeau, and a little bit of Syrah in the Tavel.
Exactly. That's when, as winemakers, when, you know, harvest is happening, what we usually do for a Tavel is bring, we don't try to, you know, vinify grape separately like we would do it for Le Carré with one tank of Grenache and one tank of Syrah.
Yeah.
We would do for Tavel, ask the growers to pick, you know, by going along in the vineyard. So they can run through, you know, a Grenache, Cinzeau, Carignan, Syrah, and so on. So it's really a question of natural blend, I would say.
Okay, now let's talk about the white. There are so many people that are familiar with Viognier as a varietal all by itself in the United States. If you would please teach people what is in the Côte d'Rhône white from Laveau and also the Le Carré Côte d'Rhône white. What are the blends of grapes that are in those?
So in the southern part of the Rhone, we're allowed by law to use different type of varietals. So it's all about blending, meaning that, for example, when I blend the white Côte Rhône from Lavaux, I usually use a 60% Grenache Blanc and a 40% Viognier. And for Le Carré White, for example, I will use a 50% Marsanne, that's another name of a varietal, and 50% will be also Viognier. But we can use plenty of different types of varietals depending of which kind of taste and smell we want to find into the white wine.
That makes sense. Common, if you will, please. It is a warm climate, but yet the wines still have very bright backbone of acidity.
That's true. I think that by blending, you really enhance special properties that you will find in one varietal, and by blending two, three or more varietals, then you will get more and more complexity into the wine.
So far, we've talked about the Côte du Rhône, the red, white, and rosé. And I want to let people know that for a retail, suggested retail in the United States, we're talking about $12 a bottle. For a restaurateur, that would be a perfect wine pour by the glass. The Côte du Rhône Village Red is about $15. And the Côte du Rhône Village Valrea Le Carré Red and White are both about $22 a bottle. And the Tavel Rosé is about $17 a bottle. People are easily spending this amount of money on a wine from California, but I personally think that the wines of the Rhône provide better quality for the money.
If I can give you my opinion, of course, then I would say to all the people that are listening that, of course, the French Rhône Valley wines give a great, you know, price per quality ratio. I know there are a lot, of course, of other wines available on the market in the U.S. But at the same time, for me, when I really think about Southern Rhône Valley wines, I'm always thinking about diversity. It really means that when my brother and I, we blend the varietals because we're trying to, you know, think about what we expect and what we'd like to give to our customers, it also means that if you, Lynn, come to my cellar, I will give you in each bottle the opportunity to make your own blend, to make your perfect blend.
Oh, yes.
Then I am 100% sure that you will make it 100% different than me, because you're not thinking the same way, you're not feeling the same way, and you would want in the blend things that maybe are different because we're two different people.
Yeah, and thank you for mentioning that. And the winery is open to visitors, and we will have links up for you to learn more. Frederick, could you please talk to us about the difference in the taste and the smell of the Rostaux and the Vacheras? And people are familiar with Chicondas and Chateau Neuf-du-Pape, but let's spend a couple minutes talking about the Rostaux and the Vacheras.
So it's quite easy, because if we talk about, let's say, Rostaux, Chicondas, and Vacheras, they are all in a 5 miles radius.
Wow.
But if you taste these three appellations, these three wines, Chicondas, Vacheras, and Rostaux, one after the other, they will taste completely different. We are using the same grapes, because in red Southern Rhône wines, the most part is coming from Grenache. And after we add Syrah and Mourvèdre and some Carignan also, but usually the Grenache is more than 50%. After that, you'll have Syrah, that could be 15 to 25%, Mourvèdre, 10, 15%, and the rest of the red varietals that we have, you know, in our hand in the vineyard.
Okay.
But it's really a question of soil, terroir, you know, sun exposition, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
To give you a very good example, Vaqueras and Rasto are, let's say, 3 miles away from each other. But Vaqueras is more like a valley floor type of vineyard, when Rasto is usually one big piece of land. It's more like downhill, 1,000 exposure, and it can be really, really hot during the summer because you have a lot of stones there. And it kind of gives you kind of a rustic taste when you smell and you drink the Rasto.
Okay.
When, because of its position, more like valley floor, Vaqueras will give you a great balance, you know, for acidity, perfect ripeness, you know, of tannins. So it will give you a very fine and elegant type of wine.
Mm. And talk to us about the Chateau Nifty Pop. We're almost out of time. Believe it or not, there are some people who've never had a Chateau Nifty Pop. And so what does that smell like or feel like in the mouth?
Usually Chateau Nifty Pop, because of all the varietals, you are allowed to use 13 varietals, different varietals in Chateau Nifty Pop. You usually more have kind of, it's a more complex and more evolved type of wine. So it really gives you, you know, a different type of personality. Like you can get kind of a chocolate, coffee, mocha character, for example. You can find some leather. Leather.
Yeah, yes.
A leather type of smell or taste. So it's a very evolved and can be a very complex wine.
Mm, sounds heavenly. Sounds absolutely heavenly. And the website for people to learn more is lavau.eu, www.lavau.eu. The wines are available in Canada too, Frederick?
Yes, exactly. We have been working with the LCBO in Ontario for a number of years.
Okay.
And we're also in British Columbia. We are also in Alberta now. So, and New Brunswick.
Wonderful. Thank you so very much for your time this week on Wine and Dine.
Thank you very much, Lynn.
We will have links up for you to learn more. And like I said, if you're going to be visiting France in the Rhone Valley, southern part of the Rhone Valley, I would suggest definitely a stop over there. They even have a workshop, I think it's on chocolate and their red wines. You're listening to Wine and Dine.
It was a pleasure, Lynn.
You're listening to iWine Radio.